Hey, everybody. How's everybody doing? Okay, let's try that again. Good morning. Good afternoon, third service. I agree with Aaron. This is my favorite service, Pastor Lance. Who knows what's going to happen right now? This is a wild and crazy service. So my name is Richard. I serve as one of the pastors here at Bethel. Thank you again for being a part of Bethel. I do have one great way of kicking off this service for at least my part. Number one, we have some good news for you guys. Over the course of the last month, we raised money for our Christmas offering. And if you guys may not remember, that offering went to kids in our local church that might have needed a little bit of help for Christmas. Their parents might have needed a little help. It also went to kids in the community. If you guys may remember, we were working in cahoots with Prison Fellowship to help kids that may have a parent in prison to have a great Christmas. And we served about 90 kids in our community throughout what we raised here at Bethel. And we also were raising money for a ministry in Haiti called Mission of Grace. And some of you guys remember that Hurricane Matthew went through the southern part of Haiti over the last few months and really destroyed a good chunk of it. And with the money that we raised, we were able to actually give money to build a house in Haiti. So we raised $6,000 over the last month or so to help out the kids in Haiti, families and actually kids here and kids in Haiti as well through the building of a home. So let's give the Lord a big hand for what really God sparked you to do by giving. Also, before I start my message, I just had one little quick word, hopefully of encouragement for you, and I don't really know who this is for, but it's a very simple word that I believe God wanted me to share with you. But peace will come when you stop fighting. Peace will come when you stop fighting. I don't know who that is for, but it's when one side surrenders. That's when you're going to find peace. And many of you guys, some of you guys, have been fighting against God. And just to let you know, word of wisdom, he will win that fight. But the war can be over. You can have peace in your heart, peace in your soul, when you stop fighting against him. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, I've got the pleasure of continuing a series of messages we started last week called Fresh Start. Also, if you're a guest with us or if you've never taken out your phone and liked Bethel Community Church on Facebook, now's a good time for you to do that. Also, you can open up your Bibles to Exodus chapter 2. If you've got a phone that's got a Bible on it, you can use that as well, or as you can use the world's largest Bible on the screen behind me. All right, we're going to be looking at Exodus chapter 2 today, and I just want to pray as I get started. Father, thank you so much for what you're going to do today. God, I thank you that peace can come today. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, God, that shame can be a thing of the past today in Jesus' name. And I thank you also, God, that you're going to draw us out of isolation and place us in the most awesome community on the planet, the community of the people of God. I thank you today, God, in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Amen. You know, this is 2017. If I haven't had the chance to say Happy New Year, Happy New Year to you guys. You know, Pastor Lance said last week that when the calendar flips over, it's not like magically all of your problems go away. Really, the same junk and garbage that you had at the end of 2016, you really woke up to it on January 1st, 2017. It didn't magically go away. But you know what? There are some things that God is doing in 2017. I believe this is going to be a year of opportunity and decisions. I believe it's going to be a year where God begins to use you in a mighty and powerful way, and he's going to begin to bless your family in ways you never thought that he could. And as we begin this series, this message today, it's going to be about how to get a fresh start. How to get a fresh start. And some of us, we need a fresh start in our marriages. Some of us, many of us, need a fresh start in our finances. Somebody say amen. Some of us need a fresh start with our health. And for a lot of us, we need a fresh start in our family, especially after the holidays. Especially after the holidays. You know, what's interesting about family is that family is the closest people in our life. They're the closest ones to us that have the power to hurt us the most. You ever thought about that? It's the closest people that you allow in your life that really have the potential to cause so much damage and drama in our life. And also, many of us, we need a fresh start with the church, the Christian community. We need a fresh start with the church because we need to get back in the habit of praying together, believing God together, having Bible studies, studying God's word together, fellowshipping together, which is just a fancy word of saying eating and hanging out together. We need to do that. We're going to have an opportunity to do some of that this coming week. We're going to enter into, as a church, a time of prayer and fasting. I love fasting. It's a great time to do it at the beginning of the year. You guys like fasting?
No.
No. You know God heard y'all say that. It's in the Bible for a reason, y'all. Maybe you don't like it. Maybe it's misunderstood. But I can tell you from personal testimony, I have never felt closer to God in my life than when I fast. It's like I crave food. I'm not like Bionic Man. I still love to eat, but that's the thing. When you crave God more than you crave food, God begins to speak to you ever so clear. And we're going to have opportunities to pray and fast this week. If you have any questions about it, you come see us after the service. Also, there's a praying and fasting booklet that we have for you out in the lobby. But you know, there's a power when God's people come together. But there's a problem we can have as believers or even people maybe of the church in the first time since a long time. There's this guy named Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He kind of sums it up like this. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he was a German theologian. He was a martyr for the sake of Christ. And he actually said this many years ago. He said, "Those who love their dream of the Christian community more than they love the Christian community itself become destroyers of that Christian community. Even though their personal intentions may be ever so honest, earnest, and sacrificial." You know, boil that down. We can have a dream of how church can be, and you can actually apply this to every area of your life. We can have a dream of how marriage can be. But if you hold on to the dream more than the real thing, it will completely destroy what you think marriage should be like. Many of us have this idea that as Christians, we're supposed to be perfect. Or when you come to the church, this should be a place with no drama and no problems and people are all happy and they're all put together. But the reality is we are a church just like every other church in the world, filled with broken people, filled with issues and problems and drama. And the problem is that the dream of the ideal Christian community can damage and deter people from engaging in Christian community. That's why we need a fresh start, the way we see things. So whatever your fresh start is, no matter what you're believing God to work out in your life, I'm believing that God, He will speak to you, that He will open your eyes to how you can have a fresh start in marriage and church and life and in family today. So you're in Exodus chapter 2. We're going to focus on a guy in the Bible named Moses. Many of you guys have probably heard of Moses before. You probably should. He wrote the first 5 books of the Bible. He's a guy who lived for 120 years. 40 years, he grew up living in the country of Egypt. 40 years, he was in the desert, or what the Bible refers to as the wilderness. And then the last 40 years, he spent delivering God's people and attempting to take them to the promised land. We know a lot about him through what the Bible says. We know that his mother's name is Jochebed. Some of you may not have known that. His father's name is Amram. I like that name. That's a man's name right there. Yeah. Amram. Sounds like He-Man's brother or something. He was also known as a prince of Egypt. Just going to focus on that for a second. His story begins like this. Jochebed was really thinking his life was in danger, so she put him in a basket, put him in a river. Lo and behold, the Pharaoh's daughter found him in a river. And he hit the adoption jackpot. He became a prince of Egypt. Now you can imagine, this is in Egypt's highlight. This is when they were bigger than everything else in the world. He became a son of the house in Egypt. All the advantages, all the money, all the perks. Brand new chariot with gold 20-inch wheels on it. I mean, he was the man. If the bachelor was around back then, he would have been the bachelor. All the Egyptian ladies wanted Moses, I can imagine. And the trajectory of his life was like straight up. But as some of you already know, the part of the story I'm getting to, something happened in the life of Moses. Actually, it was probably the worst day of his life. And it's interesting how one momentary decision can completely wreck your life. Some of you guys are in here and a few decisions, a few bad choices have completely devastated your life. We're going to take a glimpse in the life of Moses when he was about 40 years old. This is in Exodus chapter 2, starting in verse 11. One day after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were and watched them at their hard labor. At this time in history, Egypt had about 2 million Hebrew slaves that worked for them, helped to build all the pyramids and things like that. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. Looking this way and that and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. He killed a man in cold blood. So if you thought you were a bad person, join the club. As a matter of fact, Pastor Lance, I thought about it. Half the Bible was written by murderers. Apostle Paul, King David, and Moses. In verse 13, it said, the next day he went out and saw two Hebrews fighting. He asked the one in the wrong, "Why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew?" The man said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me like you did the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and thought, "What I did must have become known." If you got a Bible, I want you to underline that. Make a note about that. That's going to be an important verse for us today. What I did must have become known. That is a statement of shame and guilt. See, shame and guilt had a funny way of working, not just in Moses' life, but in our life as well. Guilt is the acknowledgement of wrongdoing. But shame is something much more devastating in our life. We'll see what happens. It says in verse 15 that when Pharaoh heard of this, he tried to kill Moses. Now think about this. Pharaoh's daughter adopted Moses. And now Pharaoh wants to kill Moses, his granddaddy. We don't ever think about that, do we? His own grandfather wanted to kill him. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian, where he sat down by a well. Now here's the thing, is that Moses, because of this incident, because of his murderous behavior, it caused so much shame that he ran away from the family that he had known for 40 years. Two military careers. 40 years living under the shadow of what he had done. Many of us spend huge chunks of our lives trying to keep others from knowing us, knowing our past mistakes, knowing our past behaviors. This is why people change locations. I've got relatives in my own family. When they do the wrong thing, life begins crazy things that they've done or happened. They end up changing their phone number. You call that number, no longer in service. Like, I guess they did it again. They change girlfriends, change relationships, change vehicles, change zip codes in an attempt to have a fresh start. Some of them even go as far. Some women do this, cutting their hair off, changing different colors in their hair. It's a new season. I'm going to start over again. So I'm going to get all my hair whacked off and change the color. I'm going to have a new boyfriend, a new girlfriend, in the attempt to start over again. How many of you actually think things change when we do things like that? Matter of fact, in my own life, the pastor that you see in front of you today, I wasn't always a pastor. I had a life where I went to the club four or five nights a week, made a name for myself and my family. One time I was told that the family had a discussion about me, and they said, he's not going to amount to too much. All he's going to do is sleep around with girls and smoke weed, and his life won't amount to too much. And when I heard about that, shame came up in me. I was being labeled. Some of us allow shame and guilt to label us, to limit our potential and to change the way we see ourselves. Sometimes shame can become toxic. Toxic shame is a very bad thing. It can create depression, suicidal thoughts. It can take you to a dark place you don't want to go. And it's all because how we have interpreted the things that we have done or the things that have been done to us. Toxic shame didn't enter into my life. I actually took the other side of shame, and it turned into revenge. I'm going to show them. They think that's the way I am. Well, I'm going to do better. I'm going to graduate college. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And then they'll see. Then they'll know. But there was no peace in my heart. See, when shame guides our life and we allow ourselves to be known by our shame, we have no peace. We become either labeled by it or motivated by it in a very negative way. But I believe God, He wants to take your past and He wants to use it to bring Himself glory. Somebody say amen. Amen. I believe today if you're holding on to guilt, you're holding on to shame, I believe today is the day where you can be set free. You can be set free from it. Your past doesn't have to define you unless you let it. How many of you know somebody that's allowed the past to define them? You know, there's an old book in 1850. There's a man named Nathaniel Hawthorne. He wrote a book called The Scarlet Letter. Some of us had to read it when we were in school. Remember that? And it was about this woman who was found to be pregnant, and the community shamed her and called her an adulterer. And they made her wear the letter A on her clothes. It wasn't because she was an Alabama fan either. It was to identify her in the community as that one. She's the one who's the adulterer. See, the problem with shame is a lot of times we don't have the community. Sometimes community does do that. Sometimes family does that. But many times that's not the way it works, where people publicly shame us. What happens a lot of times is we end up shaming ourselves. Yeah. This is what happened with Moses. I can't go back there. They know what I've done. I'll be made known. So Moses got a new life, got a wife, got some kids, got a new career, and thought he would never be made known. But what happened was completely different to his plan. For 40 years, he was out in the desert doing his own thing, and all of a sudden, he wasn't looking for God, but God found him. He was walking along and he saw this burning bush. Now, how many of you would be amazed if you saw a burning bush? Spontaneous combustion just doesn't happen. He found this burning bush and God began to speak to him through this burning bush. And what I want to talk to you about today is three keys to have a fresh start. Three keys to have a fresh start through the example of Moses. The first one is Moses had an encounter with God. He had an encounter with God. I don't know if you've ever had an encounter with God before. I met a man after second service today. He said, I don't know how to have that encounter. I need one. Life is crazy. It's a mess. I need an encounter with God. Some of you had an encounter with God when you were young. Maybe you've been serving God. Maybe you love God. You look good today. You probably brushed your teeth, probably put on some deodorant. Praise God. But for some of you, shame is still lurking on the back burner of your heart. And it dictates what decisions you make. It dictates how close you allow yourself to get to other people because what if I'm known? It limits you from being fully a part of church community. We hang on to the dream of church community. But because shame, because we've been hurt, because we've done wrong things, it changes and it warps our perception on reality and how people are and how they affect us. But I believe today God's going to give us a fresh perspective. on that. So the first thing is that Moses had an encounter with God. I believe today you can have an encounter with him. That man earlier today, he said, how do I have an encounter with God? He said, you have to let go. Do you remember those goofy things they do on TV called trust falls? You ever go to a company retreat? Something like that. You've seen it on TV. They do these trust falls, and it's really weird. You need to have a trust fall with Jesus today. You need to fall. You need to jump without looking and trust that Jesus will catch you. The problem with a lot of folks is we don't want to give control over to Jesus. Am I talking to somebody? Somebody say amen. We don't want to give control over. Because even though we have a false sense of control, it feels good with our hands on stuff, doesn't it? It feels good with our hands on the wheel, even if we're going off the ledge. But I'm telling you today, you can have an encounter with God like never before when you give up. Stop fighting. Stop fighting against God. The second thing that happened, which is truly amazing, is this man named Moses. He lived in the wilderness under a cloud of shame for 40 years. God shows up and God says, Moses, I can't use you. You're damaged goods. You think he said that? No, he actually said, I can use a man like that. I can use a man to kill somebody. I can use a man with shame and guilt that's been running for years. He said, I got big plans for you, Moses. He said, I want to use you to deliver God's people. Now, many of us don't think that the junk that we've went through could ever be redeemed. The stuff that we've went through, most of us think, how could God possibly use that? The thing that I've been afraid of everybody knowing about, the thing I've been running from my whole life, God says he wants to use it in a powerful way. Romans 8, 28, all things work together for the good of those who love him and those who are called according to his purpose. You ever heard, do you know what the word redeem means? Anybody ever been to a pawn shop? You seen Pawn Stars? There you go. You take something of seeming value to the pawnbroker, and he gives you a little less than that in return. What most of us have done with our lives, if we pawned our life over to the enemy, by our decisions, by our actions, we said, devil, take my family. Take my life, take my job. I made a decision, now I'm going to let him run amok in it. But did you know that God, through Christ, can redeem all that stuff? What redemption means is that someone who has the ability goes in to the pawn shop, pays the price, pays the cost, whatever the cost is, to get it out of being pawned and redeems it. And God can do that in your life today. I've got a real quick phrase for you. God can redeem anything. I don't think y'all heard that. Come on. Think about this junk in your life. Think about the things you've been labeled by, the people who have labeled you, the people who called you damaged goods and used, and the people who didn't believe in you and stabbed you in the back, limited you, used you, and abused you. God can redeem that. Good. See, the thing is, God doesn't take a magic eraser and get rid of it. He actually ninjutsus it. He utilizes the power of what was done wrong and utilizes it to bring himself glory. You know, in my life, as a young man, I was molested at an early age. That caused me so much shame, so much guilt. Never told anybody. My mom, my brother died, and they never knew about it. And it wasn't until God let me know that he loved me, and I'm not defined by that. It's when I opened my mouth and confessed what my past was like that God stripped power from the enemy. And he gave me the ability to share that, to bring others out of that shame and guilt so that they can walk in freedom from the shame and guilt that kept them in bondage. So here's the thing, three things. You have to have an encounter with God. Moses realized that God gave him a God-sized destiny. Realize God has a plan for you. God has a purpose, and he has a plan for you. You know that God thinks about you? Isn't that a weird thought? It's really in the Bible. God thinks about you. He says, I know the plans that I have for you. I know the plans I think about you, says God. Plans to prosper you. Plans not to harm you. Many people think when they walk in church, they're going to get struck by lightning. I had a guy this week, he really thought he was going to get struck by lightning. I said, you didn't get struck by lightning, did you? He said, no, but my hands got real hot. God has a big plan for your life, and he will utilize your story.
There you go.
He will utilize your past to bring himself glory. And here's the last part. Whatever plan God has for you, whatever destiny God's called you to do, he's always going to do it in efforts with the community of God. Every person you read about in the Bible who did something great for God, it was always surrounded by God's people. And here's the reason why I believe. God loves a good story. God doesn't like lost causes because he can redeem anything. And so what happens is just like Moses. Moses had a bad story. God whipped that whole thing around and started to use it for his good. A murderer who caused shame to the family name now is the deliverer of 2 million people. And I'm telling you, whatever shame and guilt you've walked through, God can use you. God will cause a deliverer to come to his people. Might be a Moses, might be a pastor, might be the person sitting next to you. And that's why God causes the community of God to walk together. See, Moses found God in isolation, but his destiny was found with God's people. Isn't it amazing? He found a passion for people when he became passionate about God. I just want to pray for you today. I believe that God is speaking to you today about letting go of shame and guilt, letting go of those things that hold you back and really keep you from all that God has for you. And I'm telling you, as soon as you strip yourself of that shame and guilt and you give it to Jesus, and there's a good reason why you should give it to Jesus. The Bible says that he bore, that means he took on. That means that he has the capacity to extract the guilt and shame that you walk out in your life, and he took it on himself on the cross so that you can live in freedom and righteousness in his name. Somebody say amen. So, Father, we thank you today, God, for freedom in Christ. We thank you today that we are no longer marked. We are no longer labeled by the past in Jesus. Now I pray today, God, that people would find freedom in Jesus. Yeah. They would find community in Jesus, God. And what the enemy meant for bad, you would turn it all around, God. And you would make it give yourself glory,
yes, Jesus,
and honor in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Let's give God a big hand clap. Come on. Woo! Chan, that's probably one of the greatest messages I've ever heard on someone or all of us really dealing with something and how it connects in community.
Third service got the best one.
You did, man. That was tremendous.
Y'all get the goodies. Y'all need to keep coming back.
You know, as you were talking, I thought about how simply as a doctor diagnoses you and gives you the solution to whatever you're facing, it's the same right here in this church what's happening to us today.
That's good.
All of us we're getting diagnosed, okay, this is what's happening, and the solution is connect into spiritual family.
Yes.
Into community.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know how any more clear we can say this as pastors. The importance of you taking a step and getting involved in the relationships or in the church with relationships that God's called you to be a part of.
Yeah. Just real quick, champ.
Go ahead.
You know what happened with Moses? He didn't really come to his full God-given potential until he was around God's people. If it was not for God's people, he would have stayed in isolation and he would have stayed in the desert.
That's exactly right. And that, see, the enemy doesn't have very many moves. He's kind of like me on a basketball court. I don't have very many moves. But the one I do have is deadly. It works.
Deadly is wicked, man.
I get to shoot the three all the time. Every time I do this move. I can't even tell you about it. You have to experience it. You have to.
Messed around, got a triple double.
That's right. The enemy's one move is to, listen, is to isolate you.